Hey, everyone. This is John Hansen, and up next is Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Got a great show for you. In fact, we're going to have the president of the Illinois State Bar Association on. We get a lot of texts a lot about, okay, well, how do I find lawyers? Do I really need a lawyer for this, that, or the other thing? And we got the president to chat a little bit about that. And they've got some great resources at the Illinois State Bar Association to help you out. And they are either free or they are very, very cheap so that everyone gets a chance to get some form of legal advice or representation if they're in a bind. And if you don't know, they're going to answer. So we'll get to that a little bit later on. And a couple weeks ago, Audrey Anderson, the great defense attorney, came on and we talked a lot about DCFS, and we got so many texts, calls, emails, extra questions about that process. And one of the ones that stuck out to us was, what happens if DCF shows up at your house and you've done nothing wrong? What are your rights? So we decided to frame that as a question, right? Like, you don't expect it to happen to you. You're a good parent. You think you're doing all the right things and someone shows up. What rights do you have? Well, we're going to break it all down in a little bit. And we got the question of the day today. All right. So you can call in right now, 312-981-7200. Love to get an answer right off the bat to today's question. Here it is. It changed history after passing the Senate overwhelmingly 82-13. But one opposing senator called it a step backwards, arguing that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. What am I talking about? 312-981-7200. We'll get an answer to that and plenty more coming up on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. And here's more of my voice. Welcome to the program, everyone. Hope you're having a great Saturday afternoon. It's 1:11 on WGN. Yeah, you heard the temperatures from Kevin. It doesn't feel great out there. But hey, I don't see a cloud in the sky right now, at least where we are downtown. Iridian looked out. She's like, I'm going to try and find one for you. No, I don't see a cloud out there right now. Looks great, feels cold, but I hope you're having a great weekend. If my voice sounds a little hoarse to you, you all know I work at the Blackhawks as well. And we've had back-to-back games Thursday and Friday night. I was on the mic in the arena. We got another one tomorrow. So I'm feeling a little soreness in the voice, but I'm doing my best. 312-91-7200 is our phone number, and I think we've got a stumper today. I thought last week's was going to carry over the hitchhiking laws. It didn't. We got an answer at the end of the show. Today, we don't have 3.5 hours on the air. We only got till 2:45. So I'd love an answer before then. The phone lines are open, 312-981-7200. And I know this is a little bit of a stumper, and you got to think through this one again. So I'm going to give it to you one more time, our question for the day. Oh, and today's prize is going to be a WGN old retro t-shirt. I was going to say archive t-shirt, but that makes it sound like we're going into the back somewhere, into the basement, and dusting it off. It's a retro t-shirt. It looks like it belongs in the archives. We're giving one of those away. 312-981-7200. If you can answer this, it, the answer to the question, changed history after passing the Senate overwhelmingly 82-13. But one opposing senator called it, the answer to the question, a step backwards. And he argued that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. 312-981-7200 if you've got an answer to that. Iridian's answering some calls now. I'll give her a second to catch on up. I do want to give a shout out to, and I know you might think, why does this relate to a law show? I was a member of the speech team when I went to Downers Grove South High School, a very proud member of the speech team. And a lot of our high schoolers all across Illinois are competing today at the Illinois High School Association's speech team state tournament down in Peoria. 14 events they do. If you've never been to a speech tournament or don't know what I'm talking about, it's really awesome. Thousands of kids participate in it in high school, and they're so good. Some of them are comedic events. Some of them are talking about world events. Some of them are impromptu speaking. Sometimes they got to write their own speeches. Anyways, it's the state tournament. They all worked so hard all year. And I guarantee you, the future lawyers of Illinois are in Peoria today at the speech tournaments. Where do you think lawyers get the confidence to speak in front of judges? It's because at the age of 14 years old, they have to go in front of audiences and adults and judges who rank them and give them critiques. It's a really great event. I'm proud to always still help out over at Diners Grove South in the radio speaking event. Anyways, I just wanted to give a shout out to the teams and the kids competing out there. Sports get a lot of the attention, but the activities that our students do in high school should be recognized as equal as well, and they're doing a great job down in Peoria today. Wish I could be there for you, but I'm here doing Let's Get Legal. Let's get some answers to the question of the day. Let's go to Bob. Hey, Bob, you're on WGN. How are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine.
Are you going to get?
Is it the Good Samaritan law?
No, that's a good guess, right? Because you're going on what the senator had to say, the opposing senator that
exactly.
We shouldn't have. Yeah, it's a good guess.
Yep.
It's not the answer though, Bob. Thanks for. Hey, but I like
thanks.
That you tried. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's go to Dawn. Dawn, you're on WGN. Hey, Dawn.
Hey, hi. How you doing, John?
I'm doing
forgive
so well.
Me because my answer was the Good Samaritan law also.
Oh, that's okay.
So I'll keep listening. I'll try to come up with something else.
I love it, Dawn. Thank you very much. And I believe, Nancy, you had the same guess as well, Nancy.
Yes, I did. I did.
Well, I like that I've stumped you, but I've all stumped you in the right way, the same way. So
yeah, it's a good program. I'm enjoying it.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you.
Keep
up the good work.
Thinking, everyone. 312-981-7200. I'll read it one more time. It changed history after passing the Senate overwhelmingly 82-13, but one opposing senator called it a step backwards, arguing that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. 312-981-7200 for your chance at a retro WGN t-shirt. We'll have Audrey Anderson on to chat a little bit about so many things, including what happens if DCFS shows up to your house and you did nothing wrong, or at least you think you did. We'll find out after this on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Audrey Anderson is in the chair. We'll chat with her in just one second. I'm going to take a couple quick guesses here on our question of the day. Again, it changed history after passing the Senate overwhelmingly, but one senator called it a step backwards. And he said that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. Let's go to Michelle. Michelle, you're on WGN. How you doing, Michelle?
I'm well, thank you very much. Is it Obamacare?
It's a great guess, right? That is not the answer, though. I'm sorry, Michelle.
No problem. Thank you.
Good guess, though. She's thinking about assistance, maybe government help. I don't think Obamacare passed overwhelmingly in the Senate. In fact, there was quite a kerfuffle. The Democrats had a huge majority in the Senate. I don't need to go through this whole history. Never mind. It didn't pass overwhelmingly. I'll just say that. Audrey Anderson, did you want to hear the whole history of Obamacare there from me?
Definitely. Very, very interesting.
I worked in the Senate around that time, so I am very familiar with that, but no one needs to hear me wax poetic for 5 minutes about it. That's for another program. Thanks for coming on again, Audrey. Oh,
thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know our listeners are getting very familiar with you. You come on, and we love when you're on. You had a background as a prosecutor in the state's attorney's office in DuPage County. Now you're a criminal defense attorney, and so playing both sides, not playing both sides, yeah, but you've been on both sides of the spectrum. It gives you a lot of interesting perspective, I imagine, that you use every day.
Definitely. It definitely gives me the perspective to see what I would be looking for as a prosecutor, so I know how to defend it now that I'm on the defense side.
Right. You're almost like a spy on the other side a little bit.
Somewhat.
Not like a real spy, don't get me wrong. She doesn't go spying, but I mean, she has an idea of what might come up next. Okay. Last time we had you on, we talked about some DCFS stuff, and I think it really touched a nerve with some people because I think people are a little scared sometimes, especially when we talked about who makes some claims to DCFS. So I just wanted to lay a little foundation down first. First and foremost, what are legitimate reasons if you see something that you should call DCFS? What are the important things that we should know? Because there are a lot of real reasons and important reasons why we should pick up the phone, right?
Oh, right. Absolutely. So if there's a child that hasn't come to school for a while and you don't know why, that perhaps may be a reason. Or if you see a child that it's a hot summer day and they're wearing long sleeves all the time,
okay.
Or a child that shows up with bruises or unexplained injuries that just doesn't seem to make sense, that's definitely something to reach out to DCFS about.
And some people are mandated they have to do it, right?
Correct, they are. So a lot of mandated reporters are teachers, or coaches, counselors, therapists, police officers, doctors. They are required to reach out when there's anything that they believe might be suspicious.
When you mentioned the long sleeve t-shirt in the summer thing, first of all, not something I would ever have thought of. But maybe it's like if you see it repeatedly, not just like one day they're walking to the car and they happen to have a long sleeve shirt, right? But I think this is where we get into this middle area where people want to do the right thing, but you're kind of between. So maybe it's repeated behavior, Sue.
Right, right. Definitely repeated behavior. It's just not an isolated incident. I know some people think if they see a parent spank a child in public, they should immediately rush to the phone and dial 911 or call DCFS. That's not necessarily the case. I guess you have to take the context in what you're seeing.
And repeated behavior, that sort of things as well. And the reason why we tread around this delicately is because I think a lot of well-meaning people do it. But you know in your world that a lot of ill-meaning people do call DCFS as a means of revenge, right?
Oh, definitely. Absolutely. There's exes that call on their significant other, their former significant other, because they're going through custody disputes or battles, or sometimes it's the current spouse or current boyfriend, girlfriend, and they're trying to get back at their partner's ex for some reason. So those are definitely some reasons that people make false claims.
Neighborly disputes sometimes settled through people thinking that they're going to use DCFS to really show one on their neighbor.
Yes, I've actually had that happen where there's neighbor disputes, and so they call DCFS because that's really the ultimate way to really stick it to your neighbor by getting DCFS involved and threatening to take away your children.
Yeah, and it's such an emotional thing. So then DCF gets these calls, and of course, they're going to want to look into all these claims, right? So they do their due diligence, and they try to investigate all of these things, right?
Right. They're required to do an investigation. So they come out. They're supposed to come out within the first 24 hours. So they'll come out at night and weekends and not just necessarily 9 to 5 like you would think if it was an investigation. So they go out to do the initial check, the well-being check, to speak with the child and any other children in the home, any adults in the home, to just make sure that that child's okay and safe, whether the child can remain there or remove the child until they conduct their investigation.
We've had caseworkers text in when you were talking to this, and yes, and they do that, and DCF workers do a good job of trying to sift through what is real or what is not real, and that's a big part of it, right? A lot of times they'll recognize, hey, this wasn't a case, and everything's A-okay. I imagine that is an outcome that happens frequently, right?
Right, that definitely frequently happens. And a caseworker comes out and they realize this is nothing just but a false allegation. You know, they think, or the allegation is that a parent is intoxicated or high on drugs, as well as a child or a baby's left home with a parent that is not capable to care for a child. And DCFS goes there, and there's four other adults there. They're all sitting there having a book study or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they can see right away that there's no issue. And they can talk to the child and see that that's not a concern at all.
Right. And the reason I'm laying this foundation is just to show that DCF workers work hard. I'm not saying that they don't make mistakes or that they don't overreach sometimes. But I'm saying is that they work hard, they're well-trained, and they do their due diligence. My thing is, and this is what people have been calling about, is even if you know, and especially if you're like, I did nothing wrong, or I felt like I've done nothing wrong, that investigation, even that knock on the door, has got to be alarming.
Very true. Because like we've talked about in the past, there's nothing more than a parent loves than their child to protect them. And the idea that some stranger can come in and take your child from you without any investigation first just seems outrageous.
Do they have the right to come into your home? I mean, like, I know police need to show a warrant, right? To come into your house. I mean, you can let them in, obviously, if you want. So what enforcement ability does DCF have when they knock on the door?
Right. If it's just DCFS, it's voluntary for you to invite them in to come in. But how voluntary is it when they say if you don't let them in, they're going to come back with police and take your child from you?
Does that happen sometimes?
That happens a lot of times, that they demand to go inside to see a child because of an allegation. But they say it's voluntary, so you do let them in because you're fearful that they will come back with police and remove the child and then bring your case to court before a judge.
Okay, so if they say that and you're not comfortable, what do you do?
Right, you should definitely just politely say, I just need a moment to talk with an attorney, or you can stand right here in the hallway, or I'll call you back if they're calling sometimes on the phone as opposed to just showing up at your residence in person.
Yeah. And you said it can happen day and night, right?
Right. Right. I've had some that happen in the middle of the night or on the weekends, on Christmas, any holidays, they are required to come too. They're on duty.
And they're doing their job.
They are, and they have to take everything serious because they don't know most of these families. 99.9% of these families, they've never come in contact before. So they have to treat all allegations as serious and perhaps true.
So your recommendation is, even if you're confident in your case and you feel like it'll be okay, if you have any trepidation, getting a lawyer, will they wait for a lawyer, or will they at least say, okay, well, we're not coming in, but if they come back with police, at least you'll have a lawyer present? Like, is that the end goal?
Right. I've never had an instance where a DCFS caseworker said, I'm not waiting for a lawyer. A lot of times they'll say, yes, you can wait. We'll wait. You can call your attorney and they can come. But then they'll try to minimize how serious it is, try to persuade you to not contact a lawyer, just to assure you that it doesn't really have to be taken to that level. But it doesn't show a sign of guilt if you're asking to have a lawyer. It's just a very convoluted process that most people, if they're not in this field, they have no idea what their rights are or how the process goes.
And that's what I was just going to say. People say this all the time. If the police are asking you a question, you say, I want to talk to a lawyer, then there's like, oh, it's an assumption of guilt that other people have. No. I wouldn't want anyone who knows the law inside out like you do to represent. So what potential pitfalls are there? What are your rights that maybe you wouldn't know if you didn't have a lawyer present?
Right. So some of the things are DCFS caseworkers, like police officers, they're not going to come out and say, did you beat your child and break his leg?
Right.
They're going to take you down the path slowly, ask you, how do you discipline? Is it true that sometimes maybe you leave your child home while you just go for a quick visit to the corner grocery store for 5 minutes, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes? And before you know it, that's an injurious environment where you're leaving your child unsupervised. And that's a violation of DCFS administrative code.
So it's an interrogation when they come over.
It definitely is. And they'll try to be polite and ask you general questions, but it is very invasive, asking you what you think is unassuming non-questions that have no serious implications. But before you know it, you're admitting things that will be used against you.
And I know people are like, well, why would you ever, if you didn't do anything wrong, any interrogation is not going to turn up anything. We have learned a lot in the last 10 years about interrogation tactics, things that people say yes to that maybe they were right, but they were led down the wrong way. Interrogations are tough, even if you are completely innocent, right?
Right. And don't forget, DCFS, like law enforcement, they have training, they have expertise, and they know how to ask these questions to get you to say something to incriminate yourself, or at least that it can be twisted and implied that you've done some sort of harm or abuse and neglect to your child.
Oh, yeah. And I know people, there's still that thought that if I didn't do anything wrong, I'll just tell the truth. It's going to be A-okay. And I totally get where they're coming from. And people say police are just doing their job. You better believe they are. But they're also trying to find out, and they have the health of the child in their mind too. So they're trying to reach this answer to try and figure out what's going on. It's a scary situation. We have plenty more to chat about. If someone's hopping off right now, AndersonAA.com is where to go on the website. You got a phone at 630-877-5800, right?
Right.
Okay, we got a lot to get to. If you do have questions, I ask you to text them in or call them in now, 312-981-7200. We've got the news now. We're going to sort through some of those questions. If this has happened to you, maybe, if you want to give some insight, whatever it is, 312-981-7200. We'll get to some of those with Audrey Anderson in just a little bit, but time for the news at 1:30 here on WGN. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Hey, everyone. Looks nice outside. Certainly pretty cold here today. We are 18 stories above where the river meets the lake, and we're joined by Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. And Audrey, I wanted to, you know, during the break we were just chatting during the news, because we're talking about DCFS and what to do if they show up at your house. And I think in the back of everyone's brain is, I'm a good parent. I'm a good grandparent. I wouldn't do anything to hurt my kids. And I think for the most part, it's true, right? So I think some people might be out there being like, is this topic, is this really going to happen to me? And then you said something really surprising to me. How many calls have you gotten just this morning about something like this?
Right. Just this morning before 11 o'clock, I got three calls.
Three calls.
From parents.
From everyday Illinoisans, parents who were visited by DCFS or something DCFS related, and they had to call you.
Yes.
On a Saturday.
On a Saturday.
So this is happening a lot.
It is happening, and I'm one that answered. So think of how many other calls are made to other law firms, or even before those three people called me this morning, who they try to reach out to. But yes, it's a lot.
You face this, obviously, in every criminal defense case, the presumption of innocence versus guilt. And I think a lot of people have in their mind that if DCFS is showing up at a house, parents have done something wrong. It clearly is not the case. That's why you need a lawyer there. So your rights are to call a lawyer if you want one right away, correct?
Correct, definitely.
And some of the questions, and this is a very delicate subject, so just want to put that out there, is obviously they want to investigate, of course, everything. But of course, if there's any allegations or signs or anything or any assumption of any sexual abuse, of course, we want those things investigated. But when they go down a line of questioning, I mean, obviously you'd say, of course, I'm not doing that. But they start asking questions about everyday things. that could maybe be a trigger for them for some reason, but not at all for you and your family. Does that make sense, what I'm asking?
Right, it definitely does. So even if you have done nothing wrong and you haven't sexually abused your child or seen someone do that, still the general questions that they ask you can lead them to conclude that perhaps you are not being truthful, such as how you bathe your child, who bathes your child, how do you change your child, how do you, if they're still in diapers or if they're growing, do you assist them when they're going to the bathroom?
So very intimate questions.
Very.
That are between, I mean, they're a parent. I mean, I understand what they're trying to ask, and I know, and this is what makes this hard, right? Because I think it's law enforcement and DCFS trying to make sure that everything's okay. But boy, if you start going down that line of questioning, I mean, every child is different, their development is different, and you could say one thing that triggers the wrong thing, and what could happen then?
Right, exactly. Then the next thing you know, your child's removed from your home. You're under a safety plan where you can't have contact with your child, and you didn't do anything. So say if you're a single parent, say a single father, and you have a daughter with special needs, and so you're the only one to care for her, and there's these allegations of sexual abuse. A dad just doing normal bedtime, nighttime routines to DCFS could appear to be like he's done something wrong, and he hasn't.
How quick can they take a child out of your home? Do they have to go before a judge first or no?
No, that's what's even scarier is it's up to that DCFS caseworker and they could call their supervisor. But right there, the caseworker just say, nope, I'm taking your child now and grab the kid and leave. They don't need the judge. You go to the judge within 48 hours, excluding weekends and holidays.
Right.
But they don't need a court order.
So that is, I mean, I guess I should, we've talked about this before, so I shouldn't be surprised by the answer, but it just, to hear it like that, I think also, and this happens. I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm sure there's a listener out there saying that will never, ever happen to me, but it happens.
It does, and I have parents and grandparents that have sat in my office or talked to me on the phone, and it happened to them, and they never thought it would, and they've said the exact same thing. They never believed it would happen to them.
So The advice is not only because obviously you do this, but just for the general welfare of any parent out there, if this happens to you, get a professional, right? Because you would know what to do. Like what sorts of things if you were to show up or to talk on the phone to consult, what sorts of things would you say to parents that were going through something like this?
Right. So I explain all the questions that the DCFS caseworker will ask each parent as well as their children so that they're at least prepared with some sort of answer as an explanation for why an injury or why this allegation may be.
And you're not coaching them for wrong answers. You're right. Truthfully trying to just get them to answer the question correctly, but not trying to give them so much information that they're going to use one little thing you say and use it the wrong way.
Correct. In fact, I tell my clients, and I'm sure most attorneys do that, I'm not trying to tell them how to or how not to answer a question, but just how DCFS hears their answers. Mm-hmm. So DCFS, to an innocent parent, it may seem like if you have an attorney there or prepping you beforehand, it shows guilt. But to DCFS, it's not. It's just if you have an attorney, it's just a hurdle for them.
Yeah. Both my brothers are firefighters. My dad is a fire chief. And I often say, and there are a lot of great police officers out there, too, that they are there for you in some of the worst moments of your life. Right.
Right.
And to always respect that in a certain way. Boy, you're there, or these lawyers are often there in some of maybe the most traumatic moments in a parent's life, I bet.
Right, and it's very intrusive. I feel somewhat bad at times. You go into this family's home, you talk to sometimes really little children, they're 3, 2, 4 years old, and you're telling them to talk to complete strangers about what's going on in their family, how their parents treat them. And I've never met them prior to that incident sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So it is very invasive, but it's nice that the parents can know that I'm there to try to help them through the situation.
I know that you help parents out, of course, throughout this process. Some of them come to you later on in the process, I imagine. Do you wish sometimes when a parent comes to you later on that they would have called you right away? Not that you judge them for it, but that you know, moving forward, you're like, oh, it's always better if you call earlier.
Right. Absolutely. In fact, I was just telling a parent this earlier this week who had called because DCFS, again, they try to minimize because they don't want to have a parent put their guard up.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's at the end of the investigation or they've already been indicated, meaning DCFS has already determined that there's abuse or neglect. And then they come to me to try to have the investigation undone or to change what they have said as parents or what their child has said. At that point, it's too late. It's already out there. We've got to do damage control or try to appeal it to see if there's anything we can do.
I think it's just it just fills me with, I don't even have kids. I feel with anxiety knowing that someone can knock on your door and within a few hours that kid is out of your house, right?
Right.
That's a scary thing. What is also scary is, and we've talked about this, and it's in your notes, can they go to your kid's school and talk to them? And you have no idea it's happening.
Right. They go to your kid's school, or if your child is not old enough to go to school and they figure out where your child's at, a babysitter or a daycare, yes, they can go there. And the school is not required to call a parent to say DCFS is here talking to your child. So you never know that DCFS was there until at the end of the school day when you pick up your kid from school or you get them from the school bus. If your kid is chatty enough to tell you that they were taken out of class to talk to some person down in the counselor's office that they've never met before, the school doesn't tell you, and DCFS does that all the time.
Yeah, that's interesting. And for me, like sitting in this chair, I'm like, how can they have that authority to do it? But I do understand that there are cases where you would want a DCF person to chat with a student outside of the realm of their parents, right? Like there are cases, of course, that they're doing the right thing and it is important, right?
Right, because they know it might be hard to get the parent at home, or they want to get the child and talk to the child before a parent has a chance to coach them into what to say.
Right, if there's legitimate abuse we're talking
about. Correct, if there's legitimate abuse, they want to hear it from the child in what they consider a safe environment at school. But again, they've never met your child. They don't know any of the circumstances around the child. If there's special issues, if your child is on the autism spectrum, DCFS doesn't know that.
Yeah, because I just want to make clear, because I got a text from someone very well-meaning. They find the topic very interesting, but they just wanted to make sure, you know, we know and we reiterate that there is a need. There's a reason why DCFS is there.
Oh, absolutely. There's 100% a reason that they're there. And we're so thankful, and as parents or as just neighbors, that there's someone out there looking out for children.
Right. And I'm thankful that there's detectives looking out for murderers. Okay. I'm thankful that there obviously is a need and a reason why these people exist. And a lot of them, 99% of them, work super hard under really insane circumstances. Sometimes, if we've talked about, deadly circumstances for DCFS workers. That's insane.
Right.
That's not okay. And we need to respect what they do and what they need to do. But it doesn't mean that you shouldn't have someone there on your side as a lawyer, especially if you haven't done anything wrong or you haven't thought that you've done anything wrong, to have someone on your side. Just wanted to reiterate that. I think most people get what we're talking about, but just to really clarify that. We got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with plenty more from Audrey Anderson. If someone's running out of the car right now, 630-877-5800. She just admitted she answered the phone on a Saturday morning. Probably shouldn't have done that, Audrey.
I know.
AndersonA.com, 630-877-5800. And really, this is one of those numbers. We say this sometimes on the radio, but I really mean it. Write it down and put it in a book somewhere, in a drawer. Hopefully you'll never need to open it. But 630-877-5800. Tell your friends, whoever you need to tell, just as a parent, to have that if you need it. Okay, let's take a quick break. Then more Let's Get Legal powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. Topics coming in on the text line as well. This is a difficult conversation to have. I think it's important that we're having it. Audrey Anderson from Anderson Attorneys and Advisors. I kind of mentioned DCFS can knock on your door and within a couple hours a child can be taken away, and someone rightfully called me out. It's not that simple. It's not that willy-nilly. They're going to do their due diligence. And then the texter also wanted to mention in Lake County, but this is all counties, is the CAC. Remind people what that is and how they get involved in this process.
Right. So the initial DCFS comes within the initial 24 hours, mm-hmm. where they have to do an initial well-being check. So I guess if the circumstances are so outrageous, the child could be removed then. Mm-hmm. But typically, then DCFS does a more in-depth investigation to determine whether the allegation is correct. So if there's an allegation of sexual abuse, the DCFS caseworker at that initial visit doesn't question the child in depth, but rather they forwards it on to the criminal investigation unit called the Children's Advocacy Center. And most counties have their own. It's through the prosecutor's office. And that's where a criminal investigator who's trained in investigating these types of crimes and speaking with children, they are the ones that actually talk to the child about these allegations of sex abuse. And DCFS caseworker just sits next to them or watches through a window to actually observe the interview.
Right. So if I painted the picture that it was willy-nilly, I apologize. That's not what I meant. I just meant that, you know, before you know it, before you realize what you've said, that things can already start that process where a kid then is taken from your home, or really before a judge has seen the case. That's what I think I was really trying to hammer there.
Correct.
Is that you're not going to get your day in court before that kid could potentially be out of your hands, out of your house.
Right. The child could be removed. It is. Your child's removed before you have the day in court.
Right.
So it's 48 hours. But then if it's on a Like if it happened Friday, you say today or yesterday,
right.
You have the weekend gone, Monday's a holiday, so you don't get to court to maybe Tuesday afternoon at the earliest, and you don't know where your child is, and you have no contact with your child until you go to court on Tuesday to try to figure it out.
I mean, you must talk to parents that are agonizing.
Right, especially I've had parents that have newborns. So can you imagine having a newborn taken from you or not being there while the case plays out in court? You're missing everything, the first everything.
Right, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but a couple times ago you chatted about a reason why newborns often are called because of something that they have going on in their physiology that people mistake for something else, right?
Right, right. So some children could have like a vitamin deficiency where they have brittle bones, and I'm very oversimplifying it. So,
right, okay.
Because I'm not a medical doctor, expert,
right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so we get experts for that. But they have this medical condition, so they have brittle bones. So the bones can fracture, and it makes it seem as if a parent is abusing a newborn because newborns, healthy newborns, their bones are very malleable mm-hmm. and soft, as I'm very minimizing.
That's okay.
And so it's very hard to break a newborn's bone.
Right.
Or fracture a newborn's bone. So if they see fractures in a child, a newborn.
Of course they're concerned.
Correct, because there's no other way for a child to get this but for abuse. Because right. The child's not falling off a bike or rolling off a table if they're a newborn.
Yeah. Let's talk about the process after a child is taken or there's been adjudication about this. You've gone in front of a judge. There is appeals process to this, right? Just like every court of law, you can appeal, right?
Right. So after a DCFS investigation for 60 days, if you are indicated, which means that DCFS has found that there is some evidence to support the allegation of abuse, you get a letter in the mail and you can appeal that. It's a process through DCFS where you have a hearing before an administrative law judge against a department DCFS attorney. So at that point, it's like a trial. You absolutely at that point should have an attorney because you're pretty much doing a trial on the allegations.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we handle all the time.
Okay, I've got a great text. Someone that says something that we've talked about. Sometimes parents often parent the way they were parented. Mm-hmm. I've been in preschool for 30 years. I've had to call DCFS for a child whose father was punishing him with something. I won't even finish the sentence, but something horrific, of course, that we would not, is not acceptable. Probably wasn't acceptable then. Shouldn't be acceptable now. And again, that's a reason to call.
That's definitely a reason to call.
100%. I mean, and I'm thankful that we have a process for something like that, right?
Right, right. And we have that a lot where that's how a parent was raised. If in the States or in other areas of the world, that's how they were disciplined as a child here and other places. And
not
so
okay.
That's all that they know.
Right. I just want to make sure we are reiterating, of course, that, of course, there are really important cases and DCFS is doing a lot of work. All right. So obviously call as early as possible. I mean, seriously, that DCFS person shows up at your door, say very politely, you know, I'd like to have a lawyer present while we chat. Is that okay? And whether or not whatever they say, I'm going to call one and then they can call you. I know there's other people that do this work too, but that's when they should try and make that first call, right?
Absolutely. They right. Definitely.
630-877-5800, andersonaa.com. You do a lot more than this, too. What else do you do? I mean, I know we've been talking. We're talking about school threats and kids that do stupid things, and you are someone there. And I shouldn't say stupid. I mean, things that we did, but we didn't have the internet when we were kids. And they deserve a representation as well, and you help them out, too.
Right. So we do defend juveniles that are charged with crimes in juvenile court, from everything from something minor, like an adult would consider retail theft minor, all the way up to sex assaults or school threats. That we do everything for juveniles and defend them as well as adults.
Right. Hey, we had one more text I just want to ask you about. If they do take, they want to know about taking the child away and we said you may not know where they are, do they ask for someone, a family member first that they will try to place a child with at first?
Right. So thankfully, a few years ago, DCFS changed their code to try to prioritize placing a child with a family member or a close friend who's considered a family member.
Okay.
So yes, DCFS does try to do that. But the problem is DCFS has to do a quick background check, which can take time to see whether or not that's an appropriate home, as opposed to a complete and traditional foster family who's already been pre-screened by DCFS. And DCFS knows that they're a safe home for that child.
So they could go to a foster home while a background check's being done before they go to a family member.
Correct.
Okay. Audrey, it is always great to chat with you. I know these are difficult conversations to have, but obviously I can tell a lot of people are interested and they want to know more. And they can obviously do that by chatting with you, right?
Yes, definitely. Thank
you.
All
right. AndersonAA.com, 630-877. I said that wrong. 630-877-5800. Audrey, always great to chat with you, okay?
You too. Thank you.
All right. Quick break in the news here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. Put you in a good mood. Makes me think of spring. We're not there yet. And I think my like calendar is a little off in my brain because with the baseball work stoppage, like normally we'd be seeing images on the TV of pitchers and catchers reporting, and then we'd be like gearing up and like just seeing them in Arizona on the gorgeous green grass throwing the ball around makes me think, oh, it's almost here. And since we don't have those images right now, you know, it's kind of throwing me off. And the fact that it feels like it's 4 outside right now. Hey, everyone, this is Let's Get Legal. It's powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We're going to have the president of the ISBA on in just a little bit. But I really would like an answer to the question of the day. And I feel like we've stumped everyone. And I'll give the question one more time. Here it is. It changed history after passing the Senate overwhelmingly. But one senator called it a step backwards, arguing that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. Let's go to Sam. Sam, you've been holding forever, my friend. Thank you so much. Do you have a guess to the question of the day?
Yes, that'd be no-fault auto insurance.
That is a great guess. I don't know when they federally regulated it. You held for so long, my friend. It's not the answer. It's not the answer.
I didn't have anything better to do.
That's the kind of people we like.
I got a question for you guys and for the audience out there. What is it that you never, ever want to have, yet you never want to lose?
Something you never, ever have.
You never want to own it. You never want to have it, yet you never want to lose it.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I'll call you back next week if anybody's got the answer.
I like that. We'll roll that one over. I love the WGN listeners, Sam. You're one of them. You held on for so long. You didn't get the question, so you threw another question at me. See, we're a family here, listeners, okay? I like this. Sam,
I like the announcers, too.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Iridian, write that down for me. Can you say it one more time, Sam?
Yes, one moment. What is it that you never want to have, yet you never want to lose?
All right. Sam, thanks for your call. We'll try and get an answer to that one, too, okay?
You want my address?
No, you didn't win the T-shirt, Sam. You got to get my question right. Sam's trying to change the rules here. I'm going to put Sam on hold there. 312-981-7200. I did just want to, speaking of loving our listeners, and you all know I do, I just really appreciate that we were able to have a really interesting and important conversation, and we had so many great texters chiming in about, you know, the great work that DCFS does and how important it is. And, you know, we talk with Audrey about that. We all agree on that. Doesn't mean you shouldn't have representation, especially if you did nothing wrong. You want to have a professional there. But everyone, all the texters were so respectful about the conversation and the importance of it. And boy, that is what we are trying to do on this show. It's what we try and do on this station. Level-headed, not angry, name-calling conversations about difficult topics. We all hold each other's hands and get through it. And even if we disagree at certain points, we can find common ground. And I was just really pleased by everyone who chimed in on that conversation. All right. Let's go to the phone lines and figure out if we can get an answer to this question of the day, the one that I gave, not the one that Sam gave. Hey, Larry, you're on WGN. How's it going, my friend?
It's going great.
All right. What's your guess?
Social Security or Medicare?
Okay, which one do you want to choose? Actually, they're both wrong. I won't make you choose. But tell you what, Jim, you're right on because, like, right, those passed pretty overwhelmingly during the New Deal, but there were some really funny comments about Social Security said by people that voted against it that now we find laughable. And this is kind of in that realm, but it is not those two answers. I'm sorry, Larry.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good one. 312-981-7200. Let's go to Jim. Jim's going to go ahead and take route number 2, which is an answer to Sam's question, which I also don't have the answer for. So, Jim, take a stab at it. We'll see. What was your guess to the riddle?
My guess. What is it that you never want to have?
But you don't want to lose it.
You never want to lose.
Did you get it? What's your guess?
How about a lawsuit?
You never want to have a lawsuit, but you never want to lose one. Okay. I think that's an acceptable answer. That works for me, Jim. It wasn't our question of the day, so I don't have a prize for you, my friend. I'm sorry, but thanks for answering that one, okay?
Okay. Hey, you guys have a nice day. Thank you.
You too, Jim. The show's going off the rails. We got two. We got opposing questions of the day. I don't even know the answer to one of them. Tell you what I do know the answer to. The great work that the Illinois State Bar Association does. We're going to talk to the president after this here on Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association on WGN. Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Now, for the past, I can't do math on the fly, 7 months or so, you've heard me say, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. We talk in all of our commercials about the Illinois State Bar Association. So I thought it'd be a great time for all of us to get a little refresher on the Illinois State Bar Association. And chatting with us now is the president of the Illinois State Bar Association, Anna Krolikowska. Anna, thanks for hopping on again. You were my first ever guest, and here you are again.
It's my pleasure. It's always wonderful to talk to you and to talk with your listeners.
Yeah, it's been such a great program to be able to share so many different lawyers who do so many different things across Illinois and the area with our listeners, and just to continue to reinforce the importance of lawyers. If you could give a little summary about what the ISBA is why you guys exist and how important of a role you guys play.
I would be happy to. So we are a voluntary organization of more than 28,000 members, and we aim to assist Illinois lawyers in the practice of law, promoting improvements in the administration of justice, as well as many activities on behalf of that profession. And those include proposing and shaping legislation, educating the public, and supporting the courts and the rule of law. And this year, John, actually, we are celebrating our 145th birthday, and I have the pleasure of serving as 145th president and only the fifth woman president of the ISBA.
That's awesome. When you guys say, like, legislation, it means, like, so things you guys see in the courtroom, things that your 28,000 members see in the courtroom, maybe it's judges that have no other option, or maybe it's you hear from a lot of folks that are maybe defendants that are reaching, you know, problems in adjudicating their cases. Is that the sort of stuff you guys do, you from what you see that happens in the courtrooms, and then you try and advocate for, you know, smoothing out some of those rough edges that happen to be in law?
Absolutely. So, for example, within the divorce world, there have been statutes that ISBA's Family Law Section Council proposed and eventually worked with legislators in Illinois to have them become law. And the impetus for that was, how can we improve, how can we make things better for people of Illinois?
Right. And I think that's the ultimate thing, is that you're advocating, obviously, for lawyers, but the ultimate goal is for not the 28,000 lawyers to have it better. It's for the 13 million residents of Illinois to have a better swing at it. I think that's awesome. I love when folks are able to do those sorts of things, and especially lawyers, you know, kind of helping out together in order to make it work is wonderful. I have been doing, and I'm sure our listeners are familiar with the commercials I chat about with you guys about searching for a lawyer. You have a lawyer finder on your website. What is the benefit of that? I imagine it lends, it's a lot better than Google. That's all I'll say.
Well, so let's start with this. The need for legal services in the United States is staggering. If I asked you to guess, John, what percentage of adults would you say have a legal need in any given year?
Oh boy, I'll say 30%.
Slightly less than that.
25%. Okay. I was pretty close. See, I've been hosting the show for 7 months. I finally am going to hang of this.
Yes, you did well. So if you need legal help, or if you're not sure that you need legal help, what better place to start than with the only state bar sponsored lawyer search tool and referral system in Illinois?
Yeah, you click on the button, and it's pretty easy to use, which I really appreciate. And I love what you said there. Sometimes people have no idea if they need legal help, right?
Absolutely. Let's just say that the legal system can be complex and intimidating. And our goal is to help the citizens of Illinois, the people of Illinois, figure out, do they need us and how can we help them? And you mentioned the lawyer finder and the online search tool, and absolutely, please use that. But for those who feel more comfortable talking to a person, you can also call us Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 1-800-922-8757, and you can speak with one of our operators.
That's so key. In radio, we like to say the phone number twice in case someone was scrambling for a pen. Can you give it to us one more time?
Absolutely. 800-922-8757.
So I'm looking at the site for, you know, Quick Lawyer Finder, and even just like looking at the categories you have laid out so easily, it does remind you of how many things. I mean, we're talking about business. I think obviously businesses, starting up a business. Yeah, LLC, you want to get an S-Corp. You want to have a lawyer look over that. Consumer law, or do you have to go through bankruptcy? Is that something you're dealing with? Lemons and car lemons. I mean, like, those are important things. And I didn't even think education in school. Is your kid being bullied, right? Do they have different needs that they need in their classroom that they're not getting? And we talk, obviously, with some great folks in estate planning. Of course, Corinne and John and Heggie, yeah, and others as well, but family law too. So many lawyers have come on. I just think it's like what this show has opened up my eyes to, and thanks to all your fine lawyers and the folks at the ISBA, is just how wide of a knowledge base, when you put together those 28,000 lawyers, we really do have, and that they are fighting for you in your corner.
Thank you for that, Don. On behalf of our ISBA members, I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah. I just, even like, there's other areas of interest too. Zoning, land use. You want to build a garage in Chicago? Good luck trying to do that on your own.
Definitely need a lawyer.
Yeah, exactly. What's the ultimate goal of Illinois State Bar Association? You mentioned, you know, advancing legislation. Is it just, I mean, would the dream scenario be if someone, a resident, is in Illinois and they think they need a little help? You know, no matter who you are, no matter what your income is, you're going to get at least some answers and some guidance so you can sleep better at night, if nothing else.
Absolutely. So the Illinois Lawyer Finder facilitates over 20,000 lawyer searches a month. It's available at any time, anywhere, from any device. And when you contact us, whether it's through the phone number, 800-922-8757, or the website, www.illinoislawyerfinder.com. That's www.illinoislawyerfinder.com. We will help to connect you with a lawyer in your area who will provide a 30-minute consultation for no more than $25. That's a pretty good price. And you're also able to either use the Lawyer Finder or speak with one of our operators and try to find the best lawyer for you. By that, I mean, what is the lawyer's experience? What types of cases do they handle? Do they have past experience with your type of a case? Do they offer a free consultation? Are they conveniently located to your home or office? And in some instances, do they speak your language or are located in your community? All of these factors can make a big difference in terms of the client feeling like they found the right attorney for them, which is the key of the Illinois Lawyer Finder.
Absolutely. And we were talking off air, and we're going to dive into this deeper, and maybe next month we'll have you on. You know, a lot of questions that we get on the text line is, do I really need a lawyer for this? And sure, there may be some forms you think you're going to be able to find it on your own, but boy, oh boy, I think it's really hard to anticipate, if you've never dealt with something like that, not only the forms, but what's a judge going to think about this? How does this case change how does one little wrinkle that you maybe don't think about change something completely, right? There's like so many things that, you know, we didn't go to school for, if we're not a lawyer, that lawyers, they're trained to know and to anticipate what could happen.
Not only that, we actually have an obligation to take additional courses. And every 2 years in Illinois, we have to report that we have completed at least 30 hours of continuing legal education. So it's an ongoing obligation for us. And I can't tell you how many times I have spoken with folks and had to tell them, I'm really sorry, when you made the decision to proceed without an attorney on this particular issue, the impact of that is that we cannot undo it at this point in time.
Right.
And that's heartbreaking. That's why that consultation is important, so you can make an informed decision.
Yeah. $25 for a 30-minute consultation with someone who's an expert is obviously a great way in. And, of course, searching is for free. ISBA.org is the main website for Illinois State Bar Association. One more time, what's the website? www.illinoislawyerfinder.com, right?
That is correct. And the phone number is 800-922-8757.
Anna Krolikowska, the president of the ISBA. How long is your term for, Anna?
Only through June.
Oh, only a couple more months. Well, you've done a great job, and you know, we'll chat again soon before that, okay?
I will look forward to it, John. Thank you.
Always great to hear from Anna and appreciate her conversation there. And ISBA is a great place to get started with something. And yeah, I meant it when I said it. Like, I obviously knew I'm not an idiot. I knew that lawyers are important people and they've done a lot. But once I've been doing this show and obviously chatting with our many guests, but also all the stories we've read, everything. I mean, there are so many things that lawyers do for us. I know there's a lot of bad lawyer jokes out there that people make, but I've grown a real appreciation for the field, getting to sit in this chair and bring you a lot of those interviews. Hey, by the way, I want to give credit to Sam. He was the caller who didn't have an answer to my question of the day and then suggested another one, a riddle. And Iridian says we should do more riddles now. I do like a good riddle, but it was like, what's something you never want to have, but you never want to lose? We had a caller and a few texters text in with a lawsuit. Which is a great answer. And I got to give Sam credit. Not only did he come up with a riddle, I don't know if he came with it himself, but he provided one for us. But it was on brand with the show still. That's hard to find a legal riddle. So if you've got a legal riddle you want to send in, 312-981-7200, we'll arm them up for the show. Yeah, if you've got question of the day suggestions that you think are stumpers, let us know, 312-981-7200. But we are still looking to give away a WGN Retro T-shirt. It is a sought-after prize. And the question of the day is, it, which is the answer, changed history. It passed the Senate, the U.S. Senate, overwhelmingly, passed 82-13. One of the senators who did not like it said, it is a step backwards. He said that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. Let's get an answer before the Northwestern game at 2:45. Right now it's 2:30. All right, and it's not preceding yet because we still have a few more minutes left. But thank you, Ernie, the voiceover man, for that. And yes, ISBA.org, great place to go. IllinoisLawyerFinder.com. A couple people were asking what that website was again. So IllinoisLawyerFinder.com. Okay, it's been a long time since we rolled over a question of the day into the following week, making all of you wait on pins and needles till the following Saturday. And you'd have to wait even longer than a week. You'd have to wait a week and 15 minutes, because next week we are on at our regular time. Huzzah! 3 to 5 in the afternoon. Next week, Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Maybe we'll get an answer, though, here in the next few minutes. It changed history after passing the U.S. Senate 82-13, but one opposing senator called it a step backwards, arguing that we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame. Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on WGN. Hey, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing, my friend?
Yeah, good. Very good for a day like today.
Hey, yeah, right. Cold but sunny. What's your guess, my friend?
By the Good Samaritan Law.
It's a great guess. We actually had a couple people you probably weren't listening to the beginning of the show that guessed that, but I'm glad we put you on because a lot of people have been texting it in who maybe missed the first half hour. It is not the Good Samaritan Law, but that's a great guess, my friend.
Okay, thank you.
Have a good one. Let's go to Peter. Peter, you're on WGN. Hey, Peter.
Hey, good afternoon, sir.
Hey, how are you doing?
I am excellent. Thank you.
Okay, what's your guess?
I'm guessing the duck boat safety bill.
Oh, after what happened in, was it Texas or Arkansas? Is that what you're wondering?
Yeah, I think it was Missouri with the duck boat.
Oh, at the Ozarks. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I didn't know if there was a federal law that was passed. It's not the answer to my question, though, but it is an interesting guess. I appreciate it, Peter.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Yeah, great guess. Let's go to Nicholas. Hey, Nicholas.
Hi, how are you doing today?
I am doing well. I need an answer, though, to the question of the day. I want to give away this WGN radio, not archive, retro. Iridian has to keep on whispering the word retro into my ear. The shirt. Nicholas, what's your guess?
I'm a first-time caller, and I love your show. I love it. I've been listening to you guys for a long time. This is my first time actually calling.
Oh, well, welcome to the caller family, Nicholas, and thanks for the kind words. Yeah, we appreciate them anytime we get them.
I love WG, and I've been listening to you guys ever since I worked for the baseball teams down here for Illinois. And I was like, you know what? You know, I should talk to these guys one of these days.
That's great.
Let's not tell everyone this, even though I'm on the air, but yeah. I used to be one of the local mascots for one of the baseball teams.
Really? One of the local mascots in Chicago?
Uh-huh, yes, I was.
Well, there's two choices. You're not going to tell me which one?
Well, not the pro teams. I was a minor league mascot.
Okay.
I would love to go pro. I mean, that's a dream I've had a long time.
Yeah. Well, I get to work with Tommy Hawk all the time. So
he's an awesome guy. When I first met him, I was like, dude, I'm not going to tell you like his real name or anything.
It's Tommy Hawk, Nicholas. Okay, we got a lot of Blackhawks listeners with kids that are listening. It's Tommy Hawk, and we'll leave it at that. What's your guess to the question of the day, my friend?
Okay. So what is it again?
The question of the day is, it changed history, passing the Senate overwhelmingly, but one senator said it was a step backwards, saying we shouldn't have to come to each other's assistance, no matter who is to blame.
Ooh, that's tough. Well, I mean, the one answer, I was going to say lawsuit, but the other one, I'm going to say...
Oh, you were calling about the riddle for lawsuit. I see.
The riddle, sorry. Okay. No, I'm sorry. Okay. The riddle?
Hey, yeah.
But this one, I'm going to say... Is it Social Security Fairness Act of 2021?
That's a great guess. That is not the answer, nor the Social Security Act when it was originally implemented. But Nicholas, welcome to the family. Thanks for calling in, okay?
Thank you. You have an awesome day.
You too.
God bless you.
Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
Have a good one. All right, gosh, we have 3 minutes left. I hope we get an answer. Let's go to Patty. Patty, how are you doing here this afternoon?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Where are you calling from?
How are you? Elmhurst.
Hey, that was one of your hometowns, Elmhurst. I came out to Elmhurst.
Yes, I heard that. Yeah, you had an interview with a candle maker?
Yeah, we had a candle maker, Dickens Candles, I believe it was. I chowed down an entire Armand's Pizzeria pizza. They were open when I was there for lunch, and we checked out the York Theater. And by the way, this allows me to plug your hometown. We revealed Orland Park is my next place to visit. I'm excited about that, and we'll share everything about your hometown journey next Thursday from Orland Park. But Patty, what's your guess to the question of the day?
My guess is ratifying the NATO treaty.
NATO treaty. Harry S. Truman asking the Senate to ratify it in July of 1949. The vote was 82-13, voting in favor of the NATO treaty. And Senator Robert A. Taft was one of the 13 to object to it. He said, yes, the very words that we talked about. He said, we should undertake it and make it a model, but it is a step backwards, an alliance of the old type where we have to come to each other's assistance no matter who is to blame. You've got the answer right, Patty.
Yes, thank you.
And in the nick of time, we only have a minute left on this program, and you're going to get a WGN retro t-shirt. Did you just happen to know that? Were you thinking about current events? What got you to know the answer?
It was the current events, you know, with Ukraine and the fact that we might actually have to fulfill the mutual aid obligation under NATO, and also the fact that it was the Senate, because if I remember high school civics correctly, the Senate has to ratify treaties, but the House is not involved.
Oh, Patty, you are so on. You're right. The president asked for the treaty. Senate has the right to ratify it. The House doesn't have any role in it. So that was the Senate's action that made the treaty official. And I actually have the article from the New York Times that day it was passed. It said, it is certain from the Strait of Gibraltar to the Arctic Ocean, a wave of relief developed in Western Europe when the U.S. finally ratified the North Atlantic Pact. Patty, stay on the line. Thanks for calling, okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
You got a prize. Oh. That's so great. I love when we get the answer and we don't have to roll it over, because then my mom will stop texting me, asking me what it is, and I don't have to tell her the answer. Hey, everyone. This has been Let's Get Legal. It's been powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Really appreciate y'all chiming in, whether it's on the phone or the text message.